You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
At Hardesty ESPN at ESPN NY 98.7 FM. We were all set to talk a little football with you this evening. You remember when I was sitting in for Chris last night, I told you we were scheduled to chat with Rich Cimini and Jordan Renat. We're going to talk Jets and Giants, but the NBA has moved that aside. We'll talk about the boycott that the NBA is doing and what it means. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get some scores out of the way. Islanders were down 3-0, three unanswered goals in the first period. They respond with three goals, but they lose in overtime 4-3 in the game you heard on our sister station 1050 ESPN. So that series is now tied at one apiece. Game three tomorrow night right here following the Michael Kay Show at 6:45 here on 98.7 ESPN. Game one, Yankees and Atlanta. Gerrit Cole on the mound, just didn't have it. Gave up a couple of home runs. Yankees lose game one by the score of 5-1. They're about to catch game two, which you can see on ESPN TV. Mets and Marlins about to get underway as well. Well, here it is. Not one, not two, but three game fives set for today, postponed after the Milwaukee Bucks took a stand. And let's go back, because there's been conversation about this ever since this incident with Mr. Blake took place on Sunday. Number of teams were talking about it. The Raptors and Celtics were speaking about it. And the Bucks simply decided not to take the floor. Didn't show up. Magic's wondering what's going on. So once that game was boycotted, obviously the rest of the slate was going to be boycotted. And it's an important statement. There are a lot of questions going forward, but let's talk about what we know right now. And what we know is, it's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Members of the NBA, players are tired. Much like a lot of us are tired. We're tired of seeing African-American men and women killed unjustly by police. Not all police are bad. Let me make that statement right now because I know somebody's going to call and tell me. Not all police are bad. In this scenario, similar to, unfortunately, Mr. Floyd's scenario where there was a police officer on his neck. In this scenario, this man was in his car on his knees and a policeman's holding his shirt and fires 7 or 8 rounds in his back. And so the question becomes, when does a person who is questioned by the police or needs to find or is wanted by the police or is, we're not sure what's going on and the police roll up there, why do these African Americans end up dead? They don't end up in handcuffs with conversation. They don't end up, let's go to the station house and figure out what's happening. They don't end up, let's have conversation, let's talk to the witnesses and see what's going on. They end up dead. And the NBA players, much like us, are tired of it, sick of it. Because there doesn't seem to be an answer where people listen to say, hey, you know what? There needs to be a change. Protest? Make speeches? Have conversation? Try to legislate and vote on possible police reform so that things like this don't happen? And it continues to happen. And so and kudos to the Milwaukee Bucks, because ladies and gentlemen, this is a playoff. This is not regular season. This is a playoff game. This is a game that you play en route to a championship, which is the highest level of all sports. To say that you're the best in your particular sport means this is the best. You're the best. And for you to find this serious enough to step off the court in a playoff series says a lot. And I applaud Milwaukee and the players for taking that stand, realizing this took place in their state. And Of course, as was reported at the top of the hour, SportsCenter, 8 o'clock tonight, the NBA players are going to have a conversation, and they will find out what's the next step. Will they walk out? Will they say, we're not playing any more games? The NBA season is over? We don't know. But here's what we do know. We know that the NBA players, clearly, are tired of African-American men and women being killed in police custody. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And that's the situation we have. It's a tragedy. And once again, I don't know what happened in Wisconsin. I wasn't there. I do know from the video I've seen that with his back to the police in the car on his knees, he wasn't going anywhere. Could there have been a weapon in the car? Yeah, absolutely. But there were three policemen there. He could have been subdued. And even, let's say hypothetically, you felt the need to shoot 7 or 8 times in the back? Come on. Police are trained better. They don't train you that way at the academy. I've got family members who are police, who have served for the police force. That's not how they train you. And so now the question becomes, what effect will this have on other sports? Our Marley Rivera is reporting that there's a conversation. Reliever Josh Hader spoke to the media as the Brewers and Reds are discussing not playing tonight in protest of the police shooting of Mr. Jacob Blake. You heard Dr. Harry Edwards on the Michael Kay Show with Chris Carlin and Peter Rosenberg. His thoughts. I want to share a couple of other thoughts with you before I take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Also on Twitter at Hardesty ESPN at ESPNNY98_7FM. I mentioned Dr. Harry Edwards. Listen to what he had to say on the Michael Kay Show on NBA players boycotting games.
You're going to have teams saying, you know what, we will come out and play when this society, when this nation begins to deal with some of these critical problems that impact our lives as well as the lives of the communities that we come from. I mean, when you look at what happened to Jacob Blake, when you look at what happened to Rayshard Brooks, when you look at what happened to Breonna Taylor, when you look at what happened to George Floyd, these athletes recognize that the only reason it was not them was that they were not there. And what they're saying now, okay, we appreciate the symbolism, the taking down of the flags. We appreciate the mouthing of Black Lives Matter. We appreciate the playing of Lift Every Voice and Sing at the opening of the first NFL regular season games and so forth. But now we want to move beyond symbolism to actually doing something about this. We're demanding that the society does something about this. This is not about us simply being angry or protesting. We want change.
Very simple. So the NBA players are now on strike. What will they ask for before they come back? We'll find out. Doc Rivers. I saw him earlier today in an interview, and I've known Doc a long time, from his days when he was a player with the Knicks. Had great conversations with Doc. We've done a number of shows together. Doc Rivers. Dad was a policeman. Listen to what he had to say.
We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung. We've been shot. And all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. You know, it's just really sad. We got to do better.
We do. We have to do better. And this might be a step in the right direction. And it's an interesting choice for the NBA players, right? Because where they are in Orlando, they can speak. They have the floor. They have the attention of the world right now. It's certainly the sports world, because everybody's watching to see what they're going to do next. So that's why it's so interesting what they will decide. Will they decide to say, we're striking, we're not coming back until they have a list of requests? It's interesting.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Marvin's in the Bronx. Marvin, start us off on ESPN.
Hey, Larry. First of all, I hope you're doing well right now. Look, I have 9 grandsons. I'm a black man in my 60s. I've served in combat. But Doc said it for me, and I've questioned myself many times. How do you keep loving a country that doesn't love you? And there's factors that go into it. One, I blame the police unions who enable these cops to say, look, I can do stuff to get away. The other thing is, the culture that permeates the police department is us, you know, us against them. And then the media with their illuminating of black arrests. And people don't realize, I had a conversation with a white friend of mine, you know, their lawyer guy. We've been friends for 50 years. It's my son, Garfield. And we talk about crime in the black community. I said, Alan, hold up. Most of the people arrested in this country are white. But most of the people that go to jail are black. And that's a Department of Justice statistic. But the shame is that black people have given as much effort. And I'll go even deeper than that. We built this country off our backs. 246 years of free labor. We owe no apologies to anybody why we're American. This country's in our blood. But this country should wake up, and that we're a vital community and a necessary community in the existence of this country. And they should never forget that. The police, I'm a military man. You're trained to have discipline in shooting 8 times, and you had your hands on a man? Yep. And one thing, Larry, I got to say this before anything. I could never understand white fear. There have been close to 5,000 black people lynched in this country, mistreated. I was born in 1954. I sat and watched Dr. King deliver the I Have a Dream speech with my mother, who was born in rural Georgia, and she had, like, tears in her eyes. And the stories, what they used to tell me were going on. People were lynched for not saying good morning.
Yeah.
I could never understand that kind of fear. White people, you're afraid of us? We should be afraid of you.
It's true, Marvin.
Despite all that, I'm going to close like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can never stop loving this country. I could be disappointed. I have to control my hate, but I have to come to the point where, look, I put my life on the line for this country, and I'll tell anybody. You could tell that draft dodge in the White House, and I'll leave it at that, but I'll continue, Larry. It's a family
All right, Marvin,
show.
I hear what you're saying. Thanks for the phone call, my friend. 1-800-919-3776. For those of you online, please hold on. We welcome in my colleague from First Take. Stephen A. Smith joins us on the Chris Carlin Show. Stephen A., Larry Hardesty with you. How are you, my friend?
My brother, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you for a couple of minutes. I know you're swamped. Your thoughts. I saw you on Twitter, how proud you are of what the players in the NBA have done by going on strike today.
Well, as I said on SportsCenter about an hour and 15 minutes ago, I said this. Had it been Milwaukee just by themselves, I would have been incredibly disappointed. I thought it would have been ill-advised. I thought it would have given the impression that the NBA players community was completely fragmented, not together at all, and I think that would have been disastrous for them. But the second that I recognized that all the games were ultimately postponed and that the players were standing together in unison taking this position, I was incredibly proud of them. The Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, deserves a lot of credit. We all have seen his story of the poverty-stricken circumstances under which he grew up, and what he had to go through to just get here and to be at this position. If he were not supportive of this, this would not have happened. If Coach Budenholzer, him standing up and supporting the players the way that he did, he should be applauded. But then all the players that followed, because in the end, if you want real, real change to take place, it's going to have to be done that way. There's a political apparatus and infrastructure that exists in our country as politicians on Capitol Hill and beyond, local, state, federal officials that could ultimately have a profound impact by what they elect to provoke being implemented into our laws and what have you. And in order to just basically motivate them to do that, you know, owners, commissioners of the sports leagues, the leagues themselves, they have always been a part of the political structure in terms of facilitating, you know, cultivating relationships and networking with politicians and people in positions of power to make things happen. And I think it's important that the players learn from that and do the same. You crawl before you walk. You do something like this to bring attention to your cause and the things that you are most concerned about. That's step one. But when you're able to stand up and walk is when you take this to another level and you start influencing those people in positions of power to influence others in positions of power so we can get the kind of things done that are necessary to make society better and equal for all. I think this is a step in that direction, and I'm incredibly proud of the players for doing so. Take it.
So am I, Stephen A. Now, my curiosity now is, of course, because as LeBron James wanted us to make sure it's not a boycott, it's a strike. In a strike scenario, you're striking for something. Obviously, they're going to have the conversation tonight at 8 o'clock. Just from your thought process, Stephen A., what's the next step for them? Will they not play anymore? Will they cancel more games? Where do they go?
I think conceivably they could end up canceling more games because if I remember tonight, for the most part, tonight's coverage affected TNT. Tomorrow's will affect ESPN. So we never know what they're going to do. I think that they're going to entertain all options. They meet at 8 p.m. in exactly 36 minutes or so. They're going to convene and work something out and decide what they want to do. So we have to pay attention to that. But ultimately, I think that obviously if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, and because this shooting in Wisconsin took place with Jacob Blake or what have you, I think you're going to see the players demand that the attorney general, ultimately arrest this guy and charge him with charge this police officer with a crime. I think you're going to see Breonna Taylor revisited, the young lady that was murdered or killed, rather, in Louisville by law enforcement officials. You're going to see people calling for somebody to be arrested. You're going to see that investigation intensify. I think you'll hear those cries. But ultimately, to me, that still doesn't amount too much if you're not going about the business of influencing laws. I am a person, Larry, that has been tooting this horn for weeks. I believe there should be a concerted effort, a concerted push to make the shooting of an unarmed person, period. But obviously a black man, that's what we're talking about here. I think that should be labeled a federal hate crime. I believe that should happen because obviously that carries a more severe penalty and it has a far more ranging effect. And I think that's a strong step in the right direction. We need to be going after changes in the laws as opposed to just protesting and boycotting. But I don't mind it as long as that's not the only step.
Stephen A. Smith is my guest. You're listening to Larry Hardesty for Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Stephen A., I was struck. I've known Doc Rivers a long time, as you have. To hear him today emotional, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment in his voice. Stephen A., this is an emotional time, and while we need as many people to work with us to affect change, it's just so frustrating to have to go through this again and again and again.
Well, listen, the reality of the situation is we can't conflate the two issues, nor should we. The law enforcement officials shooting unarmed black men is a problem, particularly when you got an Uber driver in Michigan that kills about seven people and he ends up getting arrested and he's alive. Or Dylan Root walks into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, and shoots and kills nine. But the man is fed Burger King on his way to jail. They stopped to give him Burger King. you know, when it's bad enough that those things are happening, and we certainly don't need to conflate those issues with what I'm about to say. But black lives, if it matters, it has to matter all the time. Just like it matters when law enforcement officials are shooting us. Just like it matters when white folks are shooting us. It also needs to matter when we're shooting each other, like what happens in Chicago and Baltimore and St. Louis and other places throughout this nation. Black lives, we have to be consistent with that message, not conflating the issues, not trying to lump it all in like it's the same, because it absolutely positively is not. But nevertheless, if we want to say that black lives matter, we need to put forth our due diligence by making sure to accentuate the point that black lives matter all the time, not just when it's taken by someone who's not black or not wearing a black uniform.
No question about it. Stephen A., I saw you on First Take this week, and you had a very, very interesting comment about African-Americans serving on juries and how it seems as though that police, when they shoot unarmed African-American male and females, that they think that if they let them go, like, they're not going to serve time, or they'll be able just to walk free, whether they've committed a crime or not.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say that day, I think it was Monday that I made that statement, because I thought it was important. On far too many occasions, you know, you find yourself trying to imagine, why is it that white folks can do certain things and they end up alive and arrested, but black folks can be completely unarmed and still can be considered a more lethal threat and ultimately end up getting themselves killed, even when they're in handcuffs laying on the ground because some police officer doesn't know to get off a guy's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. You find yourself contemplating this. And one of the things that I deciphered, just speculatively, is that you must think that you have to do something, because if you don't do something, they're not going to be punished for whatever you perceive their transgressions to be. And my response to that is, black people have been putting black people in jail for years, for decades. Black folks have no problem holding black folks accountable. We've always been great about that. You put a black folk, I say, when there's a black defendant, most of the time, there are black people in that jury box, and they got no problem sending his ass to jail. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem, because black folks have been doing that forever. So this notion that somehow, some way, they're going to get away with some kind of punishment is a complete misnomer, because black people have always taken law and order very, very seriously, regardless of what, you know, society or the media or whomever to try to disseminate or perpetrate. We don't play. We are about holding our own accountable. Look at how we hold each other accountable just when we have different opinions alone. White people disagree with one another all the time. They go out to dinner. Black people disagree, somebody's a sellout or a coon or something like that. We are vicious to one another on far more occasions than folks recognize. And so I just wanted to take a moment to remind folks of that when I was on First Take the other day. This notion that black folks somehow, some way, are apologists for one another and we let people get away with stuff. You couldn't be more wrong. We actually don't do that.
Thought I lost you. All right, Stephen A., one last thing before I let you go.
I'm here.
Okay, one last thing before I let you go. Obviously, every sport doesn't have the same structure as far as the player's availability to do something like the NBA has done. I'm thinking, obviously, of the National Football League. But what pressure does this act from the NBA put on Major League Baseball, put on the NHL, put on the NFL?
Well, it puts profound pressure on them. Like, for example, with the Seattle Mariners, they have 10 black players on their squad, and I think they just announced that they won't be playing tonight either. So now Major League Baseball is affected. So it's definitely going to apply pressure to some degree, no doubt about that, because the more the sports world stands up in unison, and it's especially important that the white players stand up, because white America is not going to turn their backs on white individuals bringing attention to the transgressions and the insidious behavior of folks from their own community. At least that's what people believe. So I definitely think that's important. But ultimately, what it comes down to is that you can't give the impression that time enough is going to resolve all of this. And that's what the NBA players are trying to eradicate, that just let things fade away and will fade away. They're not going to let it happen, but it doesn't mean that they don't have to be smart. They've got to be smart and calculating with what they want to do. It's not enough to provide lip service. It's not enough to give off symbolic gestures. You have to use your cachet to provoke change. I'll give you a perfect example. If you recall, Trump made all the noise in the world about Colin Kaepernick, as I'm sure you remember, Larry. Mm-hmm. You still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Now, if you remember when he made that noise, right, the owners were standing up for him. No one really thought about it until I went on the air and mentioned, excuse me, the owners are supportive of Trump, but it ain't because of Trump. Remember, they wouldn't let him in when he wanted to grasp ownership of the Buffalo Bills in 2014. Mm-hmm. How would I know this, Larry Hardesty? I was on the phone with Donald Trump. Donald Trump called me in 2014 and said to me, quote, if they do not let me, if they screw me over and don't let me in this club, I'm going to run for president. That's what he said to me in 2014.
Wow.
And they didn't let him in. They didn't take him seriously, because I damn sure didn't take him seriously at the time when he said that. And lo and behold, he did it. So once he became president, all of a sudden their behavior changed. Well, why did it change? It's very simple. They wanted to get a piece of the action once the Supreme Court okayed the states getting involved in gambling. Mm-hmm. They wanted a piece of that action. That requires legislation on the part of Congress, something that he could sign off on or veto as president of the United States of America. They didn't want to alienate him, so they made the case in their own mind, Larry, Colin Kaepernick ain't worth this. We trying to get paid. Colin Kaepernick just a player that's getting on our nerves, you know, with his whole kneeling during the national anthem, which, by the way, we think is going to cost us money anyway. So forget him. Let's focus on feeding this dude's ego so he'll view us as being on his side. And that way he'll assist in passing legislation that'll help us get some money from this gambling pot right here. And no one saw that. But that's who they are. Yeah. And so why can't you as a player become that guy? Why can't you influence your owner and get your owner to influence the commissioner and get the commissioner to influence the board of governors and then use your collective clout to go up on Capitol Hill to make some noise? Why can't you do that when lobbyists do it every day?
That's right.
Right.
1,000% right.
1,000% right.
Stephen A., always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for checking in with us. We'll watch you on First Take tomorrow. I know you'll have a lot to say.
Thank you, my brother. Take it easy.
All right, take care. Stephen A. Smith joining us here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Your thoughts on the NBA playoff games canceled, started by the Milwaukee Bucks, because of the unfortunate shooting in the back in Wisconsin. The rest of the teams sided with them. And they, according to LeBron James, have struck. We're getting your thoughts. 1-800-919-3776. Statement from the NBAPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts on player protest and postponement of games. Quoting, throughout the season restart, our players have been unwavering in their demands for systemic justice. This week, we witnessed another horrific, shocking, and all too familiar act of brutality in the shooting of 29-year-old Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The players have once again made it clear they will not be silent on this issue. We stand with the decision of the players on the Milwaukee Bucks to protest this injustice and support the collective decision to postpone all of today's games. Interesting. The solidarity is important, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you get change. That's how you do it. We welcome next Senator for the 36th District, State Senator Jamal Bailey to Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. State Senator, how are you?
Larry, I'm doing well. And the irony of this is happening on my birthday today. Oh, and wow. and it's really interesting. It makes you – birthdays make me reflect a lot. They make me very introspective. 4 years ago, I was aware that Colin Kaepernick took a knee 4 years ago. And I can't say that I was expecting this to happen. And I have a lot of thoughts about what's happened and what's boiled over with today. And, I want us to make sure we recognize the WNBA also, They've been taking a stand. The players of the Atlanta Dream took a stand against the team's own owner. Maya Moore left a Hall of Fame career in her prime to fight for an now exonerated man by the name of Jonathan Irons. The Washington Mystics stood up. So I want to make sure that we credit our sisters in the struggle that they're fighting alongside the NBA. I want, because that point isn't necessarily illustrated as much. I know you've spoken about it, but I just want to make sure that it's in the ether, so to speak. What today happened was phenomenal. I stop telling us to shut up and dribble. Your silence does not protect you and your success doesn't insulate you from this. And I think that when you see Doc Rivers, how emotional he was last night, and Chris Webber statements today, Mo Harkless put out a statement, Kenny Smith walking off the set. These are all African-American males with significant privilege via wealth and socioeconomic status. And they recognize their privilege and they're frustrated, Larry.
Sure.
They're frustrated. It's like we all are. They're incredibly frustrated. I think it was a phenomenal thing for the league to do.
What can these players do now, Jamal, to move forward, to be in step with what can be done through political moves and political changes? We talk about, police reform and stuff like that. So what can be done? How does this make your job easier when you go and your colleagues go to try to get change made so we don't have these discussions anymore?
Well, what we have to do is point at this and say, look, again, this happened 2 months ago, y'all. We told you what happened with George Floyd. You saw the protests. We explained to you the critical situation and scenario that it was in. And now we're back at the same point once again. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but like these type of incidents, they continue to happen. And I will say again, thank God for video, for the bystanders video, because if there was no body camera footage of this incident, and if there's no body camera footage, and if that bystander wasn't recording that, we don't get an accurate reflection of what's happening. There may be some sort of contrived notion of what took place. And I think that when people see it clear as day, it's time for us to not just talk about change. It's time for these the corporations and organizations and people who have significant power to finally come to the table and say, we recognize there's a problem. And, it's really funny how, and I'm seeing stuff on the Twitter sphere, so to speak, about, how dare these folks strike and what do they think they're doing and all stuff like that. And it's really funny how people are pro-labor, right? Everybody's pro-labor union, right? Mm-hmm. And we got to stand up for the working class, for the working person. But if the working person is young and black, right, it seems like the pendulum shifts a little bit. I'm a little curious about that. And I think that also we got to look, we just saw last week the body camera footage from the officer that blatantly lied about the assault about Masai Ujiri, right? Mm-hmm. There's been no resolution or discipline to my knowledge from that incident. So especially you got Nick Nurse and the Raptors talking about they want to do this. I'm sure that's in the back of their minds. Look what happened to our guy. And nothing's being done about it. And it's happening time and time again. And I think people are just tired. Like you said, Larry, people don't understand. We're not making this up. There is fear that we have when we get pulled over. There's fear that we have when we have these interactions. We don't want these things to happen. We don't, but we're afraid.
And see, and this is the other thing, State Senator, which really drives me nuts. And it's, they know something's wrong, but because there doesn't seem to be any penalty, that's why it continues to happen. You know, it's funny. I'm from an era where, you know, spanking was understood. You know what I'm saying? It was understood. And if you threatened to call the police, they'd say, yeah, go ahead. You can call them. Go ahead. I don't care. So I say that to say this. It was understood that when you did something wrong, there was a penalty to pay. Because if there was no penalty, Jamal, you didn't learn anything. You would do it again. Because what was to stop me from doing it again? You said it was wrong, but nothing happened. So I'll go ahead and do it. Until something is done where these policemen who are doing the wrong thing, not most of them, but the ones who are doing the wrong thing, who are going over the line, until they are held accountable for what they do, Jamal, we will be having, unfortunately, we will be continuing to have these conversations.
You're right. You're 100% right, and it's so frustrating, and I heard the frustration in your voice, that time and time and again, we have to couch it. And so I'll say it again for anybody that wants to paint, just because you're for reform, that means you're anti-police. That's complete nonsense. It's a falsehood, and it's intellectually dishonest. Simply because I want transparency and change does not mean that I'm anti-police. And it's frustrating that anytime we have to have this conversation about clear wrongdoing, that we have to couch our statements. It is something that, as a legislator, secondly, but as a black man first, it frustrates me to no end. And you're right. We have to ensure that we're able to do things that actually, you know, make you think twice about committing wrongdoing. I don't want to stop you from doing your job. I'm not trying to stop you from doing your job. Again, that's another misconception, that reform is intended at stopping the police from doing their job. Not the case at all. Intellectually dishonest. What reform is intended to do is to change the way and the behavior of what individuals do. When we have children, we discipline them and we punish them and we say, you can't have X unless you do Y. They learn that they can't do that anymore and their behavior is corrected. Why are members of law enforcement above a simple and basic premise? I don't know.
I don't get it, because most of them do their job the right way.
Absolutely.
So, you know, most of them, they all go to the academy, and there's no, Jamal, there's nowhere in the academy, and I guarantee it, there's nowhere in the academy where it says, listen, when you need to you know, apprehend your the perpetrator, you hold their shirt and shoot them in the back 7 or 8 times.
I am certain that there is not, that's not instructed, because again, the vast majority of officers that I come into contact with in my district and I work with, they are about development of community and building communities up and making sure that they keep people safe. The people, again, I think I mentioned this on the show the last time, it's not, they say bad apples spoil the bunch. It's not about a bad apple spoiling the bunch. It is about when you have bad apples, it makes people not want to trust or buy apples. This is what creates distrust between communities of color and police departments. Incidents like this and the refusal of being able to say, you know what, we were wrong. You know what?
Yeah.
This doesn't look right. Like, just give us that. Don't act like nothing happened, folks. Give us that. Give us the respect that you give anybody else. And the point that was made about you get the folks who open carry guns, the militia members, and they're giving water by the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Roof is given Burger King.
Yep.
George Floyd gets death and Jacob Blake is paralyzed. There's a problem. It's a huge one.
It's huge. Jamal, keep up the great work as state senator in the 36th district up there. We'll talk soon, my friend. Thanks for dropping in.
Larry, I always appreciate your levity and what you actually bring to the station, because we need to hear it.
All right. Thank you, Jamal.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Wednesday night edition of Carlin. Larry Hardesty filling in. We were scheduled to be joining the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers. But as you know, the NBA out for the night. WNBA out for the night. Several baseball games out for the night because of the situation in Wisconsin. And that's been our topic. Stephen A. Smith has joined us. State Senator Jamal T. Bailey has joined us. And we've had a great conversation with you on the phones at 1-800-919-3776. Also, before I get back to the calls, I want to finish with my young friend who we spoke to before the break, before the Sports Center. And my friend, you are absolutely right about what we do to ourselves in our community. It's true. And that's something we have to work on as well. The lack of respect that we have for us needs to change. And we can come up with some very valuable and some real reasons for why it happens. Economic issues, various things. But the fact that we don't treat each other with the respect that we should, that we have young people who have to make the choice of which way they got to try to get to school without being bullied or physically beat up, with the various things that happen on our blocks and in our buildings and in our communities. So there's no question. We have some work to do. We are not without blame on how we treat each other. Okay? So, no, you're right. And there's too many young people dying on our blocks, in our buildings, that we need to handle. So you are correct. And that is another issue. But it's a separate issue. It's another issue. It's something that needs to be dealt with. But that's us. We deal with that. That's dealt individually in the home. That's dealt in the community. That's dealt in the churches. That's dealt on the basketball court, on the football field. That's dealt, you know, in the library. That's dealt when we're sitting down talking. That we need to protect us. So that's our conversation. This is a different conversation when we're talking about what happened to Mr. Blake. But you're right. We do have to look at what we're doing, because what we're doing in our communities is not right in many cases. Trey's in Brooklyn, Texas. He joins us next on 98.7. Hey, Trey.
What's up, Larry?
How you doing, man?
I don't know, man. It's too heavy for me. This conversation is way too heavy. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to start using, you know, expletives. And, you know, when you're angry, you say things that, you know, that's not good. So we're not gonna use the expletives, man. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to say goodbye to a really good friend that's going on to do great things. He is my brother. He is my friend, Kyrie Williams. Got a brother for life from me. I know that today's his last show, correct?
No.
When's the last show?
His last show now will be Friday. It was supposed to be today. It will be Friday.
Well, I'm going to give him his flowers early. I'm gonna give
no
him
problem.
Early.
Listen, I'll speak for Kyrie. He'll take them whenever you give them.
That's right. He's a great person. He's a hell of a producer, and he's going to go do great things. So I just wanted to say that tonight, Larry. This conversation is way too heavy, Larry. I'm going to just tell all my kings out there to protect themselves. And whatever that means to you, you do it. And comply when you have to comply. That's it. And if you're not given a chance to comply, then God bless you. And hopefully everything works out. Because that's all you can say, Larry. You can't say nothing else.
It's true.
We're in a no-win situation, Larry. And your caller that was talking about black-on-black crimes and things like that, that's exactly what that is. That's black-on-black crime. We'll deal with crime.
Yeah.
But that's crime.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? You have white-on-white crime. You have Hispanic-on-Hispanic crime. You have black-on-black crime. What we're talking about is being shot in the back 7 times. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about systemic racism that exists in a lot of precincts and a lot of parishes out here in this country, and it has to change. And it's not going to change tonight, and it's not going to change with a march, and it's not going to change because they cancel basketball or they cancel in some baseball game. It's going to start with us, Larry. We got to continue the conversation. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And nothing's going to change, Larry. This country is disgusting. And it's built on this. It's built on this. It's built on violence. It's built on murder. This is what it's built on. So until we change at the core, this will never change. This is going to keep on happening in Wisconsin, in Brooklyn, in Chicago, Los Angeles, Louisiana, and it goes on. It's going to continue until we as a people change.
Yeah.
And that's when it'll change, Larry. But
you're right, Trey.
I wanted to say that to Kyrie tonight, man. I love you. You're my brother for life. You know you got a brother for life with me. And that's all I wanted to say, Larry. Y'all have a good night, man. I got to clean my kitchen and get up out of here.
All right, Trey. Thanks for checking in. Jesus is in Elizabeth. Jesus, you're next on 98.7.
Appreciate you. Hey, Larry.
How you doing, man?
Appreciate the show.
Thank you.
With all that's happening, we need to always, and we need to right now, keep our eyes focused on November. You know what I'm saying? That's the most important thing right now. We need to make sure that we elect people that care about us, that truly understand what is happening around us, and literally stand beside us. You know what? What Nick said near the beginning of his call is so true. Around 4 years ago, you know, white supremacy, black supremacy was given a voice, and it was given that green light. And that's why you start seeing all this stuff happening now. You start seeing it more and more. I mean, racism has always been around, but you see it more and more and more in the last 4 years because, number one, thank God for things are being recorded and people are being told on. But secondly, it's because people are more bold to be and act out the way they do. We need to make sure that we are doing what we need to do and make sure we elect people that truly care about us. That will do what they have to do aggressively to bring in this change. You know, everybody has their own reason to vote for whatever candidate, whether you are, for religious reasons, for economic reasons, or for, you know, type of government reasons. Everybody has their own reasons to vote. But if you are a person who is right now sick to your stomach, who is angry for what's happening right now, and you're sick of what's going on with the fact that the reality that black lives do not matter in the eyes of many people, then if that was bothers you the most, then let the reason why you are going to vote be a way to silence those who think that black lives do not matter, that all lives matter, but they only say that so that they don't hurt others, so that they don't, you know, look at what's the main issue. And mm-hmm. and pretty much let that be the main reason, the main drive to silence those who believe in white supremacy, and let them know that in the United States of America, we're not about that. Thank you, brother. I love you, man. Love the show.
Appreciate you, Jesus. Thanks for checking in with us. And by the way, on that idea of voting, make sure you vote early. Make sure you vote early. It's not as simple as going to the polls. Make sure you vote early. Make sure if you're doing the mail-in voting, you know when the deadlines are. Make sure if you're going to just not mail it, but pick up a ballot and drop it to your voter's office. If you're living like on the island or in Connecticut or somewhere else, make sure you know the dates. Make sure this is, when you talk about voting and making your vote count, make sure you know the deadlines. Otherwise, your vote may not count. And that would be a tragedy.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Chris is in Manhattan. Hey, Chris, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm okay, Chris. How are you?
Well, I'd rather be talking about your reaction to what we saw last night. But I guess we got to go a different way.
Yeah.
But I kind of need a little bit of clarification, you know, and this has been an excellent show. I'd like to thank all of the callers that have been on, producer, and obviously yourself. But I need to know what we're talking about here.
Chris? Oh, we lost him. All right. He'll call me back. The line just disappeared on me. Anthony's in Jersey. Anthony, you're next on 98.7.
How you doing, Larry?
I'm all right, partner. What's going on?
Oh, I just saw, you know, it's a deep conversation tonight. You know, we're usually talking sports and, you know, trying to have more light in our darkness.
Yeah.
Because we deal with a lot of BS during the day with work and so many other things in life. But this one is a, you know, this one is getting all of us. I wanted to tell you first and foremost that, you know, I second everything that you're speaking on, because at the end of the day, it's all about everybody making it home. You know, like, we got to all make it home. And it was one caller that it sticks out of my brain when he said, go after pensions, because then that will affect their bottom line in their pocket and how they take care of their family. So it would kind of actually force them to change, even if they didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be definitely a good idea. But the one that I wanted to add was, I really think it's going to be hard for the system to change with officers changing until cops speak up against cops. Because they have this little brotherhood thing where, you know, they take the oath and what have you. If you really want to get deep about it, that's nothing different than a gang. You know, yeah. especially the way they conduct themselves as far as their loyalty for each other, regardless if they're black or white.
Mm.
Black cops are staying quiet against those bad white cops. That's a problem. Mm. White cops, I mean, obviously, you know, if you were racist, you're not going to speak up against your, you know, your color. So you can understand where the white cops stay quiet. But why aren't the black cops speaking up against these white cops?
Well,
and I'm a black man.
Anthony, I'm going to tell you from having conversations, and thanks for the phone call and your kind words, from having conversations with folks, because I've had members of my family in the police force, and, you know, through some of the extracurricular things that I do, we have conversation with police and law enforcement a lot. And the major issue, Anthony, is this, and it's very important, and it may sound like an excuse, but to an officer, it's your life. You are your partner, whoever you're working with, and if you're with two in the car, like in the city of New York. Not so much when you're just one in the car, but with two in the car, but still, it works around. If you cannot be trusted, if you are in a situation where you are viewed as a person who is not on the team, so to speak, it could cost you your life. You may not get the backup you need in the crucial situation. There's penalties to pay for that. So I understand the thought process and the concern of not sharing that when you know something's on. But here's the thing, Anthony, that gets me. And that is, how often do we see that an officer, a law enforcement officer that's involved in a situation like a George Floyd, like a Jacob Blake, and others, when the record of that law enforcement officer is often revealed, we find that there are other issues that were on their record that was not handled correctly, or maybe there was insufficient evidence or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But there's usually some other infractions on their record that would make you say, well, if they had been penalized for what they did earlier, they probably wouldn't have been in position to do what they did recently. And so I played the soundbite earlier in the show from Doc Rivers, who was very emotional last night. And one of the things that is that pops out in what he was saying was that when these incidents happen, they go unpunished. And so until punishment happens, it's not a deterrent. And so that person will continue to do what they do because they've gotten away with it. And it's unfortunate, but that's usually what happens. Chris is back with us in Manhattan. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I think my thing, and things happen for a reason. And I'm glad I came on after your last caller, because now we got back on track. Mm-hmm. Is this a police brutality case, or is this a crime case? And when I say crime, I mean, you know, and Trey was on earlier, you know, I mean, is there a difference between black-on-black crime and white-on-white crime? And, I mean, it's generally, that's generally crime within communities. Mm-hmm. Am I not mistaken?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I mean, and okay, if you have, crimes that are committed in between, you know, different races, okay, there may be, hey, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that kind of gets to me, and I understand it, I mean, because in any community, you all want to feel safe. We don't want crime in any community out here. What does that have to do with somebody who's trained to do this? Going to the academy, you're working in a department. This is what you do for a living. I mean, I think we would judge it. You're held to a little bit higher standard. We're talking about, we're on a sports show. I mean, you're going to hold LeBron James to a different standard than you're going to hold myself or Trey if we're taking a three-point jump shot. Am I not mistaken?
No, you're not mistaken.
because he's a professional, right? And we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Police officers are professionals.
Yep.
Aren't they here to serve and protect?
Yes.
You know, so I mean, just simplistically, without really getting too deep into it, that is the crux, you know, of the issue. Now, you know, what you started to touch on, I'm going to say one name, and I said it a while back, Frank Serpico. You don't know about it, you know, if anyone out there does, wants to know why, sometimes you will possibly back up your partner who might be a little dirty, because you might not want to experience that. I mean, Larry's going to say it a little more eloquently than I am, but basically, your partner's not going to follow you behind that door when you kick it open.
Nope. And in some cases, might have somebody behind that door for you.
Waiting on you.
And
guess what? And got the extra deuce in the boot with your prints all over it.
Yep.
I mean, so the things that can happen to you, I mean, that's being a police officer is not an easy job, but at the same time, it does not give you the license to take people's lives out here when you don't have to. And play God with, I mean, literally play God with people's family trees. Because you kill a lot more than just one person. There's a whole ripple effect. I mean, look at the ripple effect.
Yep. It's true.
And people, and yes, you, and you know what? Part of this is, you know, that's all wrapped up in this is, you know, again, you know, part of what you're seeing is, you know, the kind, you know, being the conscience of America. Start going through history and all these marches, and it's about being the conscience of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you show and portray to all these other countries, we know what you like at home.
Yeah.
You know, Doc Rivers, I could have sworn he said a line that I heard in a Rambo movie. I think it might have been number two. Something about, just once, we want our country to love us as much as we love it.
Yep.
Something that, you know, and I know, you know, there's some people, something that a lot of Vietnam veterans didn't get. If you don't know, ask somebody.
That's right.
I'm not, you know what, Larry, let me get off, because I'll just listen, man. It's better if I just listen. Thank you for your time, man.
All right, Chris, thanks for checking in.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.